You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning, Riverside friends. If you don't know me, my name is Isla, and Keith has graciously allowed me to take over the virtual message this morning of June 7th. So today we're going to begin an amazing mini-series within Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter is often called the Hall of Faith because it's just filled with stories of Old Testament heroes of the faith. So for the next few weeks, our church is going to be visiting these major stories of faith in Hebrews 11, and it's going to be a wonderful time of diving into the Old Testament and learning how these ancient followers of God connect to all of us who are following the same God of the universe in the year 2020. The year 2020. I'm fairly certain that none of us will forget the year of COVID-19 and spaceships and protests, along with virtual schools and virtual church. And my goodness, we aren't even halfway through the year yet. Isn't it ironic that 2020 is what we call perfect vision? Yet this year has been so blurry, so confusing, so shady, so unclear. Now, most of us are doing the best we can to see clearly, but there's so many things that are unknown, so many things that are just out of our control. And during times like this, when the world around us is just being rattled, people tend to have strong feelings about God. Now, for some, all of this is proof of universal chaos. They believe that we are trapped on this earth together. We must fight or find a way to heal for our own survival. For others, the pain in this world, it leads to an anger toward God. They believe that God is this distant power, that maybe he shows up to smite us when we make mistakes. And the funny thing is, even in the modern legal insurance world, we call giant destructive acts like floods, hurricanes, pandemics, we call them acts of God. I mean, why even try? God can just come in and wipe us all out, right? As Christians, however, we believe that God is good. God is love. God is way more compassionate than we are. And though we suffer in this life, we believe that Jesus chose to enter this world and to suffer with us and for us. So followers of Jesus believe that God is near to us, that he's acting on behalf of us, whether the times are good or whether the times are bad. We believe that God is with us right now, even in a virtual gathering where we're all in separate places. So Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you boldly right now, be with us. Let your words and your truth take root today. So here's the thing, friends. Trusting a God that we can't see or touch isn't always easy. For us to believe that God is good when destruction and disease just erupt around us, it takes something called faith. And the entire Hebrews 11 chapter focuses on this word and on examples of faith. So for the past few months, I've been pondering this chapter and trying to figure out, how in the world do you define faith? Because it is vital, right? Faith is like that beating heart that proves that you're alive with God. Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. This is a big deal, brothers and sisters. We cannot please God unless we have this thing called faith. Then verse 6 continues with, anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So the first step of faith is to believe that God exists. We may not see him with our eyes yet. We may not touch him with our hands, but we believe all these things that we can see and touch and taste, we believe they were created by God with power and with purpose. Verse 3 tells us that by faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. We can look at the beauty of creation. We can feel how evil and suffering disrupt us in our spirits. We can witness the miracles of life and love and service. And by faith, we conclude that God is here. God exists and he created everything in the universe with his power and love. Now, the second half of verse 6 is equally important. We must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, faith must go beyond believing in a distant power force who shows up at times to create or to destroy. Faith is believing that this world was created good and created with love. We must believe that God ultimately wants to reward us, that God wants to bless us. So while studying this topic, I had an epiphany that changed the way I view my own faith. You see, our culture a lot of times will mix up the words faith and hope. We'll use them interchangeably. So if I say, all of my hope is in Jesus, is that different than saying all of my faith is in Jesus? Or if someone has lost their faith, is that different than someone who has lost their hope? See, faith and hope are both necessary on this walk with God, but they are different. We know the three most foundational qualities that come out of following Jesus are faith, hope, and love. And I think most of us can differentiate love, but we also need to be able to differentiate between faith and hope. This past fall, I felt a heavy spiritual attack over me. Now, the interesting thing was I still believed in God as the past creator, the past worker of miracles. I still believed in the future promises of heaven. But what was being shaken was my belief that right now mattered, that waking up, picking up my cross, and following Jesus today was worth it. I knew in theory that my faith was being attacked, but it was really confusing that I still had hope for the future. I still knew what God had done for me in the past, but I was struggling today. So spending time fleshing out this meaning of faith and hope, it helped me unpack the confusion I was having. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, hope deals with the future. To hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. Hope expects a current promise to be fulfilled in the future. To hope in a person, to hope in God, it means that something you desire will be fulfilled through that person. Romans 8:24 says, "For in this hope you were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have?" Hope longs for and anticipates what it does not yet have. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. We hope for the glory of creation to be restored. We hope for goodness and peace. We hope for death to be swallowed up with life. We hope for healing. We hope to see Jesus face to face. To hope is to believe that that storm someday is going to end. Hope helps us have joy in the middle of deep sorrow because we hold on to this future promise. Faith, on the other hand, is much more about the present, the right now. The definition of faith includes allegiance to duty or a person, fidelity to one's promises, complete trust, a belief and a trust in, and loyalty to God. Faith is about what we believe, think, and do right now. It's about who we trust today. Now, some give their allegiance and trust to politicians, to scientific advancements, to self-sufficiency, to money. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Faith is believing God today, while hope is cherishing God's promised future. Verse 1 in Hebrews 11 helps flesh this distinction out further. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So all of these heroes of the faith that we're going to visit, they were commended because they were confident right now in the present that the promises and hopes that they had in God would come to pass. They were confident in God's ultimate goodness, and they believed that God would fulfill his promises. Because I really want us to grasp the meat of this verse, let's dissect a few different Bible translations of verse 1. So if you look here, faith is a confidence, assurance, substance, reality, firm foundation in what we hope for through God. And faith is also the assurance, the conviction, the evidence, our handle on, and the proof of what we cannot see right now in the present. See, faith is the real proof that we believe God. Faith gives us confidence and strength to fight the battles we face today. When we wake up to whatever the day brings us, we're told to put on the armor of God from head to toe. Okay, we are literally on battlefield earth right now. God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world are fighting over souls today. So faith is that shield in the armor of God that protects us in the middle of the battle. Ephesians 6:16 says, "Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." The shield shelters us from fatal attacks. Faith covers our weaknesses, protects us, and goes before us as we walk in the battles of this life. To have faith is to trust God right now. No matter what disasters are happening around you, it is an allegiance and a confidence that God is working today for good. And he's working today for a beautiful future. Now it's time to visit these stories in Hebrews 11 so we can have real examples of faith. At this time, we're just going to highlight a few portions of these characters because we're going to be diving into them deeper later. But as we read, pay special attention to what faith does. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered God faithful, who had made the promise. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the wall of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. See, all these people, they hoped for the future promises of God, but they had faith in the moment. Faith gave them courage to believe, speak, bless, and to act. In other words, hope is believing that God will rescue your family from a future flood. Faith is waking up every single day and cutting down another tree to build a boat. Hope is believing innocent children will no longer be slaughtered by Pharaoh. Faith is the Hebrew midwives delivering life rather than destroying it. Faith is Moses' parents hiding their newborn child from authorities and then trusting God as their son was raised by their Egyptian oppressors. Hope is believing that God's people will overcome an evil Jericho society. Faith is Rahab hiding the Hebrew spies while putting her own life in danger. So let's paint this into a more modern illustration now. Let's think of hope as an engagement ring. Hope is the engagement ring. Faith is saying on your wedding day and every single living day after that, with this ring, I thee wed. Hope is believing you'll get a diploma at the end of high school or the end of college. Faith is attending class today because you trust that what you put in today will help you reach that goal tomorrow. When I was a freshman in college, hope was believing that my roommate would choose life for the child growing inside her who was conceived at a party. It took faith day after day for me to be the lonely voice standing against the media, her friends, and the popular culture and what they were telling her to do. I praise God today because there's an adopted girl who's almost 18 years old now, because I jumped in someone else's battle and I used my own shield of faith to protect an innocent life. Hope is a Black pastor named Martin having a dream of racial equality. Faith is him leading a movement, though he was abused, imprisoned, and killed for it. Hope is a white pastor named Fred believing that a children's TV show could bring healing to a hurting nation. Faith is him creating that show and then sticking his feet in a kiddie pool with a Black police officer as a visual act of brotherly unity. Hope is believing the innocent life will no longer be murdered, be abused, or be trafficked for profit. Faith is giving your own time and your own resources to protect, defend, feed, and provide for the vulnerable. Hope is believing a person you love will come to know and follow Jesus. Faith is praying for them today, trusting that God hears that prayer and he is working on it. Hope is believing that you'll see Jesus face to face when you leave this world. Faith is believing because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you right now. I'm not trying to overwhelm you with all these stories and illustrations, but I think we need to grasp that faith is alive and active. James chapter 2 spends a lot of time trying to hammer into our brains that real faith is connected to present action. It says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith without action is dead, friends. We are people of the living God. We are called to be a living sacrifice. So our faith has to be alive and active. Yes, faith starts with believing in the mind and trusting in the heart, but faith is alive when we act. Think about it. The way Jesus taught us to join faith is by believing in him, confessing with our mouths, and then getting baptized with our body to identify with his death and resurrection. The initial sign that shows the world, I am a Christian, is an action of the mind, mouth, and body, all giving allegiance to Jesus together. Now, we have to be careful when we focus on actions of faith, because there are some really muddy ditches we can fall into. One ditch is this belief that acts of faith save us. We might start thinking that we have to earn God's approval. We have to prove to him that we are faithful, prove to him that we are worth saving. Now, I'll never forget the last time I talked to my grandma Langhofer. She was in the hospital. We all knew that her time was short in this world. And this faithful, poetic, high-achieving, musical pastor's wife, she told me over the phone, I just hope I've done enough. I said, Grandma, it's not about that. Jesus did enough. Now, I can say that, and I know in my mind that Jesus did enough, but I struggle with that same DNA of trying to earn God's approval. Ephesians is clear that the grace of God saves us. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We don't earn God's love. We don't do enough stuff to get a ticket into heaven. God's grace is a gift. It's like God says, I have this gift for you. I've already purchased it. Do you have faith to take it and open it? Now, having faith means that you believe that gift giver is good, and you believe that what's inside of that gift is good. So you take it and you hold on to it till it's time to open. We're simply asked to believe and hold on to that gift. Since I enjoy similes, faith is also, it's like a cell phone. You know, you can carry it everywhere you go and say, look, I have faith. But if you never turn it on, it's worthless. You can't do anything with it. If you never plug it into the energy source, it's as good as dead. See, faith moves us to not only believe in the work of Jesus, but also to participate in the work of Jesus. Now, there's another big ditch that we can fall into when we start talking about acts of faith. And this is the belief that strong faith will lead to health, wealth, and prosperity in this life. Now, while faith in action, it can lead to amazing results in our lifetime. But faith does not guarantee that life will be easy or that our victory will come right now on this earth. The last verses in this chapter tell us that faith does not mean having a carefree life. It doesn't mean we're going to get rewarded right now all the time. That's not the goal of faith. The goal of faith is to live like Jesus. Jesus was called a miracle worker and a man of sorrows. He was brutally killed like a criminal, but he rose in victorious glory like a king. The end of Hebrews says that these heroes, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. They quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. But there were others who were tortured, faced jeers and floggings and chains and imprisonment. They were put to death, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. So you may be praised in this life for following Jesus, or you may be persecuted. You may witness miracles, or you may live a life of suffering. See, true faith is not based on the circumstances around us. Faith stays true to God no matter what suffering or prosperity this world gives us. In sickness or in health, our faith will be tested in this world. But this testing leads to endurance. And my friends, we need endurance to finish this race. One of our friends at Riverside, Shanda Sargent, she wrote a beautiful and gritty post about faith and endurance about 2 years ago. Shanda's daughters have recorded some of our worship songs in recent weeks, and I asked her permission to quote from her post. Her words describe exactly how I felt this past fall when my faith was being tested. And these words give voice to what it looks like to stand your injured self back up on the battlefield, grab your beat up shield of faith, and continue pressing on. I've asked Jeff to read her quote, because it also personally resonates with him and with the struggle of holding on to faith no matter what the battle around you looks like. Go ahead, Jeff.
If faith is frayed and your soul is busted up from trusting and hoping, if everything you have always believed is shaken and rattled to the core, you are not alone. If you feel like you cannot possibly live on one more day in your current circumstances, if the hollows of your heart feel empty and numb, you are not alone. If you are crippled by shame and regret, if you are weary, tired, burdened, damaged, over it, done, you are not alone. Sure, it's hard for me to believe that some days he will work this all out for good. And that's why you won't hear any platitudes from me ever, because I have been there. I am there. But I also know we can't give up. We can't. We have to hold fast, bloody knuckled, nails digging in. Don't give up. You are not alone in this battle. Faith is not pretty and tidy and wrapped up in a little neat jar of perfect roses. Real faith is bruised and bloodied, down in the grit, mended and scarred. It's weathered, tested, tried, ugly, beautiful, and sometimes weary. But my friends, it is strong. Yes, yes, it is strong, no doubt.
The shield of faith can be really hard to hold on to at times. It can get heavy. Our faith can get beat up and scarred. And while holding on to it, we can still get bloodied, bruised, and shaken to the core. The shield may even get knocked out of our hands, but no matter what, pick it back up and do not let go. Do not give up. Let us be alive on the battlefield of life today. Let us believe that God is working in all of this mess, that God is a good God. We have hope. We have hope coming of a new life, a new world, a new never-ending joy, and never-ending peace. So may we all live to echo the words of Paul and what he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.